Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
They're calling it D-Day in a sense, meaning that the vaccine rolled out of Pfizer in Michigan. It's headed to states far and wide. Where it goes from there, it depends on the states as to who gets access first. Usually it's going to be, for most of what we've seen, the frontline workers. And who are they? Definitions range from people who work in meatpacking plants, people who are obviously doctors, nurses, that kind of thing, people who are emergency responders, people who are working with the elderly in some of the retirement communities, but how fast they get it and how that's all determined, again, depends on the individual states. Wow. So it's an early Christmas present and halfway through Hanukkah present, I suppose. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Happy, happy, merry, merry, and all that good stuff, whatever lights you're lighting. It's been such a long road, hasn't it? These 10 months. You know, it's, we're beyond saying when 2020 came upon us and we had all these great plans for this next decade, you know, what were they? I mean, who cares now at this point? The ball shattered and that was that once we got to the beginning of March. So now it's just a question of how many doses are going to be available in your state. Are you taking it? Are you not taking it? Do you feel a little bit leery about taking it because it was so fast to get this to market, but the FDA says it's completely safe. People are rolling up their sleeves of noteworthiness, including three former presidents, to try to tell people this is fine. There may be some side effects, but not for very many people. Anyway, they rolled out and they left the Pfizer manufacturing facility on Sunday. And then they're going to get to 145 different sites on Monday. Primarily large healthcare systems will handle the vaccines at their storage, ultra cold temps, of course. Nearly 500 additional facilities will get doses on Tuesday and Wednesday. If the Moderna vaccine is approved in December, supply to the states would then increase even more. And once the people that are going to get the first, their first dose, then they have to come back for the second one. They have to do that. But first in line pretty much is considered to be the healthcare workers because we're seeing how many of them have died, and they're helping the people who get sick with COVID-19. 17 million, 3.7 million in nursing home residents. Then second in line, the 14 million essential workers. Then teachers, 9.6 million teachers, then 2.3 million first responders, and then everybody else, third in line, people with pre-existing conditions, that's like 89 million, and then 6.7 million age 65 plus, right? So the pre-existing conditions like diabetes, heart problems, obesity, older adults, they would be the priority groups, but based on the federal recommendation, states have the final say on who gets the shots and where they're going to be administered, that kind of thing. Like the governor of Illinois said he's going to send the first vaccines to the healthcare workers in the counties with the highest death rates. That's how he decided who was going to go first. So it just depends, right? And every state, like I said, every state, you could go state by state, and I have a list of state by state, and it's different. Arizona, people listening to us in the great state of Arizona, our pals in Tucson, 58,000 doses will be shipped initially, 440 58,000 by the end of the year. So they'll get about 58,000 doses, like I said, in the first set of the Pfizer vaccines. If Moderna is approved, then they could get that bigger jump up before the end of the year, and that's enough to vaccinate 6.1% of the state population. They have 350,000 healthcare workers, 96,000 nursing home residents and workers, and the number of doses in December is almost enough to give them a single dose by the end of the year, because remember, then they got a follow-up booster 3 or 4 weeks after that, and that's what makes it 95% effective. So, see, that's where the numbers would change. People are listening to us in California. California is expected to get 330,000 doses in the first set of the Pfizer vaccine. Then if the Moderna kicks in, they'll get over 1.8 million if that happens. How many healthcare workers in the state, our biggest state, California? A lot of healthcare workers, right? So that's where the majority will go. And then it's pretty much a similar, it's almost a similar the way it could be handed out, but it just depends on specifics of how many healthcare workers and all that kind of stuff. And it always seems like the healthcare workers are first in line. We've got a lot of great people listening to us in Connecticut, and I've had them ask about it. 32,000 doses in the first set of the vax. Then they could get up to 170,000 doses before the end of the year. 4.6% of the state population would then have it. And it's the same thing, the same scenario of who's first in line. And, you know, then you go from that. And smaller states, it's a little bit different. Bigger states, Florida, 180,000 doses. Then same thing. If Moderna kicks in, then they would get those extras, too. And so on and so forth. But you get the idea. And then it would vary from there. Like, who would be the first ones? Because there would be some that would obviously be left off. So how that's determined is by jurisdiction, what they've ultimately decided to do, what their plans are. And who knows? You know, if you've been contacted and you're on that list, then you know you're going to get that vaccine. It is, in a way, it is exciting, eerie, and scary. I mean, it's like everything all mixed into one, isn't it? Because it is still, in a sense, this weird, surreal, almost movie about a virus. If somebody told us this 10 years ago, yeah, there's going to be a virus, it hits the United States, they're going to have this thing with masks and social distancing, and there's going to be people that will be shocked that they lose loved ones, there's going to be people that unfortunately have to deal with a lot of people dying because they don't have enough beds in the ICU where they work. And we know the stories. I would think it was like the movie Contagion or something else, but no, this is real life. And so the vaccine is here. What happens and after effects of it, or, you know, anybody who has any of those symptoms, the side effects of it, the confidence is pretty high that we're not going to see horrific things, and that's why the FDA was able to green light it. They say they feel really confident about it. It's mostly red tape they were stepping around, not taking any kind of shortcuts, because I think in a lot of people's minds, that's what you assume. Like, well, normally this process would be 2 to 3 years, and now it's not even close to 2 to 3 years, right? All right, we need some levity on this show. So while we celebrate that and almost 300,000 people are dead, but now we see the light at the end of the tunnel, perhaps, still a long way to go. How about a little this or that? That's coming up next.
It's not over. Sadly, our nation is going through tough times again, with no end in sight. And nobody knows what might happen next year. That's why it's a good idea to plan ahead, so you aren't caught off guard. Nothing's more important than having enough food to eat, and we're here to help. We're My Patriot Supply, America's leading emergency preparedness company. We provide long-term emergency food that lasts up to 25 years in storage. When grocery stores run empty or disasters strike, our foods will be there when you need it most. Act now and secure at least a 4-week emergency food kit full of tasty meals that provide 2,000 calories a day. We have dozens of emergency food storage kits to choose from. When the government tells you not to go out, you can have the peace of mind that comes from being prepared. When you order from MyPatriotSupply.com, your food will arrive discreetly at your doorstep in no time. Prepare today. Time is short. MyPatriotSupply.com. That's MyPatriotSupply.com.
The stress levels of Americans may be at an all-time high. From education to business to basic needs to politics, the 2020 pandemic-related stressors are pushing many of us to near breaking point. That's why you should consider the stress and pain-relieving products from sunny-bay.com, like our lavender neck wraps and pads infused with premium Washington lavender buds. They relieve tension and relax with a soothing scent of lavender. And lifestyle expert Jennifer Bonner recommends products from Sunny Bay.
Sunny Bay's hands-free neck wraps should be your go-to pain relief solution.
Give gifts to family and friends that relieve stress and pain. Give love and care by giving the best. Give pillows, neck wraps, and body wraps from sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Hi, this is Kate Delaney, and I have a confession to make. I'm addicted to journaling. So many of the ideas I get from my radio show or books hit me at weird times, and I need to write them down. Does that happen to you? So I decided to create my own journal with my pal Jackie. Looking for a great gift for your wife, sister, mother, aunt, friend, or boss to end 2020 or kick off 2021? My girlfriend's gratitude journal includes inspirational quotes and loads of room to write, and it just dropped. Here's the best part. You'll also get a copy of my Forbes book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Increase your odds, win big, and become extraordinary. It's loaded with ways to chart your own life and filled with the success habits with some of the biggest names on the planet, stuff they shared with me that can help catapult you. Here's the best part. For both hardcover books, it's just $29.99. Yep, go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer. Again, all of it for just $29.99. I got the shipping covered. What are you waiting for? Just go to katedelaneyradio.com, click on books, and special offer today. Once again, Sir Eric, the technical maestro for this version of the show, joins us. I just picture you like with a crown on your head and opening some big gates to come out and stand in front of the royal microphone.
And dressed all in gold.
All in gold. Yeah, like a disco, like a scene from the disco. I love it. It's weird because it just, you made me think of that. The Bee Gees, there's a documentary, HBO just did a documentary on the Bee Gees, and if anybody's out there and they're Bee Gee fans, but just even the music, it is so interesting. And they have a moment where they're dressed in like gold suits, and you made me think about that. when the disco thing happened for them, and it was weird, it wasn't what they were going after, but anyway, you'll have to watch it. All right, so this or that, Uber Eats or DoorDash, or do you go with that curbside? So if you're going to do any of these things, would you rather have the food delivered to you by Uber Eats or DoorDash, or would you just go curbside, just go pick it up?
Am I cheap or am I rich? This hypothetical situation.
Hypothetical. All right, so you're saying if you get something, you go curbside.
I've been using DoorDash when I, like, on payday and stuff.
Oh, so, but you just said it. On payday, because you feel flush, you do DoorDash. But if it's not payday and it's a little bit deeper into it, you might swing by curbside or do drive-thru if you're feeling like you want to eat something nasty.
Yep, pretty much.
I nailed you. So we've been doing food delivered because it's cheaper than going to the grocery store. So, like, meals, like actually learning how to cook, which is crazy. And you think it would be super expensive, but no, it equals out to more or less than what you would get from the grocery store. Although the Hubs complains that it's not enough. He's like, what is this? It's like the size for a 10-year-old boy. So because he's a big eater. Dinner for breakfast or breakfast for dinner, this or that. So would you rather do dinner for breakfast, because you can do that, or breakfast for dinner?
Breakfast for dinner, for sure.
Yeah, breakfast for dinner is the best, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Me and my girlfriend probably do it, like, at least once a week.
Yeah, us too. I like eggs, biscuits or something healthy, a bunch of fruit mixed in with all that. I don't know. I like it. It breaks things up. But I read somewhere where if you're craving something, the best way to keep your weight in line is if you're craving something and it's like a dinner thing, well, just eat it. So, like, if you wake up and you're kind of bouncing around and then at 10 o'clock in the morning you want, like, pasta and meatballs, like, you should just eat it, because then you're not going to crave it and eat all these other things and then want to have it anyway.
Yeah, Italian food is surprisingly good, and like when you wake up. And then,
yep.
My guilty pleasure is waffles for dinner.
Ooh, yeah, waffles are good.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I probably shouldn't have put that in people's heads, but.
Waffle. Yeah, they're all going to run out and make waffles now. You know the waffle thing that I discovered since living in the South that's a big deal? And I know there's people that are going to chuckle living in the South or other places, too. I had it once in Vegas and once in South Carolina in Charleston. Great place. But waffles and chicken. And it sounded so weird to me, like, oh, that sounds awful. It's fried chicken and waffles, and it's incredible.
I got to say I agree completely.
And that's not something at all I would ever put together. Like, if you said that to me growing up back east, and someone said, oh, yeah, we're going to have some waffles and chicken, I'd be like, oh, really? But it's so good, isn't it, when it's done right?
I don't know if I've ever had it done right, but I still think it's good.
I still think it's good. I've had it done right, and it just melts in your mouth. Here's the thing. How many calories do you think are in that? I mean, it's got to be like 1,500 or something. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I would say. Or maybe
more
upwards towards,
yeah,
somewhere between like 1,000 and 2,000.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, how about this? If you had a chance to pull a Freaky Friday, and there have been a lot of movies about this where two characters, one's an adult and one's a child, and then they switch places because they're complaining about their plight in life. A lot of times they're teenagers, but not always. And there's it's a horror movie actually, but another Freaky Friday, and Vince Vaughn is in it. And he switches places with the main character. And, of course, she's in high school. So I was thinking, if there was a Freaky Friday, would you go back to be your 7-year-old self, or would you rather be your 14-year-old self if you pulled a Freaky Friday?
My 7-year-old self, probably.
Why not the 14-year-old?
Less problems.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Who wants to be a teenager again? All that angst, all the nonsense. No, 14, you'd be like in eighth grade. So you'd be getting ready, or maybe you'd already be a freshman in high school. Ugh.
Yeah, I was in the eighth grade, and when I was 14, actually, I was. That's when 9/11 happened.
That's right. We talked about that. So that was stressful.
Yeah, it wasn't fun, and then. I mean, nothing was fun in the eighth grade that I can remember.
Nothing was fun, so forget it. I'd rather be 7. 7 is great because you can't get blamed for a lot. Everybody thinks you're still precocious in some ways, and that's the age that parents love you usually.
Yeah. Just like nothing but fun.
Nothing but fun. I agree. I'm all about fun, so I'd rather be the 7-year-old. When I was 14, was, I guess it would have carried over. I would have been in eighth grade, then you go into high school. And I, when I went to high school, I went to such a big, I went to a high school in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. Oh, Eric, there were 4,000 kids in my high school. 4,000.
Wow, that's a lot.
And I knew like five. So, because it was new. It was, I was switching districts, the whole thing. So I didn't really, I didn't know that many people. Luckily, my best buddy was there, and then there were some other people from my neighborhood, and they were very nice to me, but I didn't know anyone. So that, they all knew each other from going through middle school and all that stuff, so it was really strange. It's like brand new. It was like I was on a college campus.
Yeah, that's rough. What grade were you in again?
When I was 14, I was 8th grade, because it would be the tail end of 8th grade into my freshman year.
Yeah, that's got to be rough.
Oh. It was. It was. You know, and then in the end, it was good. I mean, I know that I liked the school and everything else, but just in the beginning, because they definitely, most of them really had grown up together. So it was like, I didn't move there from someplace. I was grew up in the same place as them, but we were totally different sides of the hemisphere. Because, you know, when you go to different schools and you're in a different district, it's you don't really know the other people. So it's very, very strange. All right, so 7 for me. 7, absolutely. And plus, we lived in New York then, so I would have been, like, in Queens at 7. And it was like it was like being in a wonderland at 7. You just, all these things you got to do is really, really cool. All right, you win a year's subscription, but you get to make the decision. Do you win a year's worth of books, any books you want, or magazines? What would you pick?
Books.
Yeah, me too. Magazines would be fun for a while, but then they would pile up. They would get on my nerves, and I'd be reading about celebrity stuff and here's Stars Without Makeup or who knows, because you'd get everything, I'm sure. Every kind of mag. You could get any magazine. So in one way, it'd be good, but I'd rather have the books.
Yeah, I've never really gotten into magazines, mostly probably because they're expensive.
There we go again. Because you have to save up for your chicken and waffles, so I totally get it. Yeah, they are expensive, especially now because there's not as many. And, of course, I love books. That's why we have Author's Corner, and that's why I do a thing with high-impact authors. I love books. I like writing books, and it's fascinating. People's stories come to life for me, whether they're famous or not famous or, you know, whatever. All right, you get a chance to ride around in a week with either the police or the fire department. Which one do you pick?
I'll go with the police.
Ooh. So that'd be like Cops. You remember the show Cops?
Oh, yeah.
Bad boys, bad. Yeah, I did both. I had the chance to do both. Well, the fire department was like 3 days, and it was a little different. But I admire both. I mean, I learned so much. They were so gracious. I was a reporter, and the things I saw were shocking to me in some ways and pretty cool in other ways because of what they did for the public. All right, thanks, Eric.
Thanks, Kate.
Stay with us.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Dan Naraki. The U.S. Commerce and Treasury Departments were victims of a cyber attack. The Commerce Department said Sunday in a statement that they have asked the FBI and the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency to investigate the breach. They did not give any details as to the extent of the breach into the department's systems. The hack comes days after a major cybersecurity firm, FireEye, announced it had suffered a breach where many of its tools to detect network hacks had been stolen. A group of hackers associated with Russia are suspected in that attack. The Michigan legislature will close its offices Monday after being advised of a credible threat of violence. The state House and Senate offices will be closed for the day. The Senate chamber is scheduled to hold the vote of the presidential electors, which won't be affected. A spokesperson for the Michigan Senate Majority Leader says the decision to close the offices were because of the credible threat and not because of anticipated protests outside the state Capitol building. This is USA Radio News. A recent poll shows that about a third of Americans say they won't be getting a coronavirus vaccine. The Marist College poll shows that 61% of Americans will get a vaccine when it's made available to them. The numbers that say they'll be skipping the shot is a concern to Dr. Mansa Slaoui. The chief science advisor to Operation Warp Speed tells Fox News that the U.S. could reach herd immunity against the virus by next summer if 70 to 80% of the country is immunized.
It is, however, critical that most of the American people decide and accept to take the vaccine. We are very concerned by the hesitancy that we see, the level of hesitancy that we see, but we hope that now that all the data is out and available to be discussed in detail, that people will keep their mind open to listen to the data and hopefully agree that this is a very effective and safe vaccine and therefore take it.
This is USA Radio News.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Corner, we're going to Reddington, England to talk with Matthew McDonald, about his book called The Satanic Platforms and the Whores of Babylon. When you sit down and you start to read this, you will be, I'm serious, you're not going to be able to put it down. And, you know, I only say that about a certain amount of books, but honestly, it's the truth, because this story just takes you to some incredible places, and you're talking about evil, and you're talking about the different routes that Satan can take to spread his evil. So thanks so much, Matthew, for coming on.
Oh, that's fine. It goes right the way through the solar system as well, making up some moons which spin two different ways.
I love that. So tell me about that.
Sorry.
That's okay. Let's tell me about the satanic platforms. How did this come about?
Well, it really started me when I was reading the Bible in Revelation about the Whore of Babylon. And you know the seven evils of the Whore of Babylon? It's Whore of Babylon because it's supposed to come into Revelation with seven heads. Each head representing a different evil, like lust, gluttony, and all the rest of them. I can't think of them offhand at the moment.
Yeah, you know, because you think about the seven evils, you're right. And, yeah, there is a fascination about Satan? Because, you know, from the time we're young and we hear about Satan, did you find that?
Yeah, Satan himself wasn't actually the devil. He wasn't. His power on the earth. He came from the devil. Well, the devil's evil is could not be put on the earth. It's simply to work. It had. This is what I was trying to say. It's not physical. It's a mental evil that could go on platforms as such as mobiles and everything like that. If you think about thinking, computers are a platform for information. This information can go all over the world. So if you corrupt it by a lot of things, even television gives you a load of rubbish, which is because it's third hand. Most of what you get is third hand, except for the wife when she nags you and everything like that.
I like that when the wife nags you. Now, come on, Matthew. That's funny. When you started to tell your tale, and tell us about it, tell us about the meat of the book. If I meet you at a coffee shop in the real world and we're sitting across from each other, what would you tell me? Hey, Kate, this is the gist of the satanic platform. What would you tell me? And you said it. You said it's the where it comes through, the technology, etc. But what would you tell me about the story?
Well, the story really starts with a real sovereign who was there. You know, I thought that wizards and witches must have sovereigns in their community as well. And the sovereign, I named her Elizabeth after our queen at the moment, and she does a few things that they in the wizard world, to put it like that, to, like we do with that in inauguration of our queen. And she comes around, she's a hero, of which she goes to the university in Anglesey. Do you know where Anglesey is?
Yes.
That's in an island near Wales. My brother comes from Wales, that's why I'm doing well.
And so that's where that took you, the story. So you wrote about what you knew about.
Yeah, to a certain extent. Yeah, and I've done some researching into necromancy. Do you know what that is?
No, tell the listeners about that.
But that's controlling of dead people. You know, they can put an image in front of you and they say you, and they say that's Joe Bloggs, but when the image is actually controlled by Satan and the devil and all things, or other witches and wizards.
Ah.
And you've got to find a way through that, because this is another platform which it can be transferred. And they usually create a signature for each person just before they die. This is what I've done. I've created a signature where the necromancers can control the body when they die, when they're dead.
Yeah, that's scary to think of that. Boy, that would be scary to write about. Then I want to make sure that we get in Pandora's Christmas. So tell us about Pandora's Christmas.
Well, Pandora's Christmas is, I thought I could, with these similar satanic platforms, because you know, I wanted to give it further, you know, give it a further start. So I started with Elizabeth, how she started to grow up and how she met this love of her life and at a very young age. And I also put a bookbinder in there as well. But I love things about nature and stuff. So he was a beekeeper.
So the main character's a beekeeper, but it's interesting you mentioned that you put something in about bookbinding, and you did that for a living, right?
Yeah. Yes. I could go more into bookbinding, but it takes you 5 years just to learn it. So.
Wow. And for Pandora's Christmas, the tale that you weave there, what do you hope, and then just like satanic platforms, which is so interesting that you chose that, I love the title, then you dovetail into this next one, Pandora's Christmas. What would you like for people to take away from reading that novel?
Well, that's that'll lead into another book I've been thinking of. You know, I'm talking about sovereigns and everything like that. And you see, there's so much corruptness in royalty, let alone politicians and everything. The true Queen of England is not actually something you've got to go back 600 years or so. That if you went back, it's not her at all, even in this world. But I put wizards go back hundreds of millions of years further back into 250 million years ago. There was a volcano in Siberia, and it killed a lot of creatures off. 90% of the world's living team died, and a lot of wizards, all except for about four of them, survived. And Pandora's Christmas is what Pandora, she took the evils out. She made her evils out and put them into a box, which was going to try and keep them there. And she was stuck in a box.
I like it. She's stuck in the. I have that image. We all know what Pandora's box is, and that's exactly the image that I have in my mind. So you've got, and you're thinking of another book of writing. So it's interesting. You had a career in bookbinding, and here you are now an author. What's that like for you to write these books? And when you finish them, what's that feeling like?
Oh, I enjoy it. Yeah, it's better than I thought it'd be. I've bound books and made pretty gold lettering on it, but writing them is better. I think it's something you can go back to. Well, I used to, I bound a book for Diana when she died. I it's got a one-off book. He went into a church with Diana, all signed by very important people.
Wow. So what was that like? So when Princess Diana died, you did the work for that book?
Yes. It was done in Nigerian ghost skin with the three feathers of the Prince Charles's scribe. We had to give that back. They weren't allowed to keep it.
Right, you could just use it, right?
Yeah. For gold embossing.
Wow, and then and you said some important people in England then signed it.
Yeah, yeah. Tony Blair, I think it was, Margaret Thatcher, a lot of others. Queen, in fact.
Wow, so what was that experience like for you?
No, well, I've actually met her but 2 years before that. She's been a very quiet, very nice lady.
The Queen?
No, not Queen. Princess Di.
Oh, Princess Di. And in your meeting with her, she was, and people are fascinated, as you know, in America and in England and all over the world about her, and she was super nice.
Oh, she was a really nice lady. Yeah, and she was stuck in something. I don't know, all over the place really. It's not this first meeting. You get nervous.
Right. Wow, very cool. Well, I'm glad that you gave us a little glimpse into your life as a bookbinder, too, and I wish you the best with your books. Matthew McDonald is his name, of course, and you can get his books on Amazon, the Satanic Platforms, and Pandora's Christmas as well. Thank you for joining us.
That's my pleasure.
SuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.
As the coronavirus crisis continues, I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, "It's never too late to be who you might have been." Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Attention business owners body slammed by overwhelming debt. If your business is in trouble, hassled by creditors, if you're frustrated, finally fed up with big business bailouts while your business has been left for dead, please listen close. There's a brand new fast-track bankruptcy. Some have even called it the biggest small business bailout in American history. Designed for individuals and their businesses. And look, almost no one knows about this yet. My attorney wasn't even aware of it. The truth is, beating the system has never been easy because it's rigged in a sense against the little guy. But here's the jaw-dropping news nobody's talking about. They've literally just changed the system so that you can beat it. But only if you understand how the new game has to be played. Find out if you qualify at pocketsoflight.com. This government-backed small business repair program is still legal, but may not be renewed after the election. Fight back fairly, fight back ethically at pocketsoflight.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Now he's in our virtual green room for this edition of Author's Corner, and I think you all know how I feel about poetry. I've talked about that before, that my father wrote poetry, and it's just fascinating to me what drives people to write poetry. And in his book, he talks about growing up and reading a lot of books on everything he could find to read. So science, philosophy, politics, history, music, romance novels, comic books. Wow, that's interesting. Imagine one day you're in a romance book and the next day you're in a comic book. And like me, he's a huge movie buff. Action flicks, comedies, love stories, science fiction, and romantic comedies. So, Alan, you're a well-rounded individual, I think, because you had your nose in all kinds of things, especially when you were reading, but also with movies as well. Is that part of the reason that it kind of drove you toward poetry?
Yeah, I think it was a creative thing in me. I took art in school, too, and I was like into creating things and, you know, just imagining. I guess I had a good imagination and I tried to, you know, drawing pictures and thinking of just things, you know, imagination and I liked creating things. And one thing that kind of drove me to this was something creative too, in a way to express myself, maybe on paper. A different way besides, you know, drawing a picture, maybe a picture of what you know, was going on in my mind or what I was thinking.
And what was the reaction to the women in your life, to the poetry that you've written? Because you write about love.
Some of them have read them. They really liked them. And, of course, a woman, like my wife, she's like, curious, who am I writing this about? And I said, I told her, well, most of them I wrote for you, but I was scared. I didn't want to give them to you. Or I was like, you know, I don't know. I guess it was just...
That was the right answer.
Yeah. Well, most of them were. And some of them, actually, I wrote years back. I actually had just once in a while just like, I need to write a poem and get this off of me. And just what stuff I was thinking. And I'd write it down on a piece of paper. And I ended up having, like, papers all over the place, just different places. And then when I decided to do a book, I was, like, digging around through stuff and put them all on the computer. That would took a time just to find, round them up, and I probably still got some somewhere. I don't know where they're at now, but, you know, I just wrote them in a notebook and sometimes I'd be at work and think of something and just write it down on a little, you know, stick of note or something.
Yeah. But, yeah. And so you pull them together in different ways, and then the name of the book, by the way, the poetry, is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. So when a man loves you, what doesn't he say?
I don't think we say a lot. I think men are, you know, we're brought up to be tough and you know, we've got to be tough and strong and not show our feelings and I'm guilty. I'm the same way. I mean, I played football and did all these sports and, you know, wrestled and baseball and you know, try to be the tough guy, I guess, or whatever, but still you would get the, you know, you'd meet a girl and think you're in love or something and you don't, and maybe you're too scared to say something because you don't want to get hurt like anybody else, or maybe something, you know, happened and you got hurt. I mean, it happens.
And yeah.
I would put it on paper.
That sets you apart. Tell me that story in a second. That sets you apart because if you were expressing your feelings in poetry and you were handing them to some of these girls, some of these women, I would think that you would be very popular.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it. Sometimes I think they were put aback because most guys wouldn't do that, or they wouldn't say anything, or they would just, you know what I mean? They wouldn't express themselves.
Yeah. Good for you for doing that. So tell me your story. Tell me a story about somebody that you gave one of your poems to.
Well, I think there was one that, gosh, it was someone I met when I was working at JCPenney, and I thought she was beautiful. She kept coming in, and she talked to me. I think we went out one time, and I wrote a poem and gave it to her, and then, I don't know, I think it may sound crazy, but I think it scared her away because she quit coming around. Like, she probably didn't know what to think. Like, what is this guy thinking? Or, I don't know. It's something different. I don't guess every guy does that.
Yeah, I think a lot of guys don't do that. But good for you, because I think what you're describing, you did take a risk by doing that. But good for you, because that was a way to for you to express yourself. We're speaking with Alan Annis, and his book is When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. Do you have a favorite poem that you've ever written?
Well, I was looking through this first book. I put it together on my own, self-published it. And as I was going through them, because, you know, you said something about find my favorite one. I really picked out about five or six I really thought were good. But then I got to the last one. I said, you know what? This is it. This is like, it like sums up the whole book.
Yeah, there you go. What is it?
I would share it. The title is It Stuck in Me. I got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out. It's coming from my heart, and it wants to shout. Sometimes when we're together, it's stuck in me. I want to tell you how I feel. It won't break free. Right now, I struggle to describe how I feel now. I just know you got deep in my heart somehow. So, dear lady, remember in those quiet times here, those words I want to say are stuck in me, dear. I know the words are simple to say, I love you, but when it runs so deep, the feeling's true. It's coming from my heart and it wants to shout. Got so much I want to say, I just can't get it out.
Wow. Bravo. Well done. It's stuck in me. That's such a good name for a poem. And you know what's interesting, Alan, too, that you've had these different careers where, and you mentioned it, as a kid working in retail sales, transportation, manufacturing, and utility work. You and I have talked about that off the air, some of the crazy things that are happening across America and what we're seeing. And do you think that also adds to your experience because you've done a lot of different things?
Yeah, I'm pretty diversified. I've never been afraid to try anything as far as work-wise or, you know, I've done different things. I mean, when I was younger, I had friends in a band. I ran sound for the band. I was the sound guy for them, and they weren't like a big-name band, but it was fun, and it was something creative, and people would ask me, hey, you want to do this? Sure, I'll help you. I always try to help people, and if they needed help, and I just keep busy, and then you go through your life, things happen, you meet somebody, and I've got, you know, three kids. And to be honest, this was hard for me to do, to put this out here, because I knew I'd probably get reactions from different people, and then my mom's like, I didn't know you did that, because I didn't tell nobody. I would just do it and write these down, and as a matter of fact, I'm working on a second book. I'm trying to get it out by early next year, maybe the end of December, because I have more that I wrote that I didn't put in the first one, and just the goal. I just start thinking, well, maybe if people, I got a good response from people that's bought it, and also family. They're like, oh wow, do this. You know, my mom really got excited. She goes, wanted me. She said, well, you need to do it again. This is awesome. But it's something to do. I just thought there's probably more people like me out there that got things on their mind and they don't want to say it. They're worried about what someone's going to think, or like I said, it's stuck in you. You can't get it out.
I like it. That's why I'm so happy that was your favorite, because it's true. It's stuck in you, so you found a way to express yourself. And this is something that I think a lot of guys listening, good, you know, if you could do the same thing that Alan's done, man, you could really open yourself up, I think. So, again, it's When a Man Loves You, What He Doesn't Say. You can get that on Amazon. Alan, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. I appreciate being on your program.
Of course, and we can't wait to see what happens next for you. And thanks to everybody out there for listening to this version of the show.
Coronavirus crisis continues. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Now's not the time to retreat, panic, or stress out. Instead, refocus, reimagine, and reinvent. In my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary, the whole focus is on overcoming adversity. I share the secrets of some of the most accomplished people on the planet and how it applies to you. I agree with George Eliot, who famously said, it's never too late to be who you might have been. Pick up a copy of my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, on Amazon.com.
DrinkSuperTea.com. Powdy Arco Tea builds red corpuscles in our blood, which carries oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate. Our immune system needs oxygen to develop. And cancer dies in oxygen. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's 818-965-9113.